Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, this is a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Scott Seidenberg. In for Gil, he's Kelly Bidlin. He's often here.
Often, yes.
Often.
All the time. Yeah,
often
yeah.
Here.
Scott, it's good to have you, man.
It's good to be here, Kelly. Let's get everybody ready for NFL week number 15, which will kick off tonight, Thursday night football between the Rams and the 49ers. But we have NBA Cup action, which we got to discuss from last night. The semifinals are now set here in Las Vegas. We will have the Hawks advancing after beating the Knicks 108-100 last night. The Rockets, a 91-90 win over the Golden State Warriors with a little controversy at the end of the game, as there was a jump ball situation that was instead called a foul. Free throws to the Houston Rockets, who nailed two to win the game 91-90. Steve Kerr not happy about that. Warriors bettors not happy about that. Or were they, Kelly? Because even though the Warriors lost the game, they still covered the number.
Yeah, this is always what we talk about in NBA betting. It's small, these smaller lines, take the points, lay the money line situation just to for your own sanity reasons at the end of games like this. But it was, yeah, wild finish. I mean, pretty crazy. The Warriors didn't end up winning this game. Up seven, they're pretty late. Houston able to come back, win this game. Big win for Houston. We talked about it all leading up to this game. 15 in a row, the Golden State Warriors had won. The last time the Rockets had won was February of 2020. So a big win for a young Houston team that's going to move on here. And when one of the most impressive teams early in the season now go on to face Oklahoma City in the semifinals, setting up, I think, a great semifinal. This NBA Cup for me, Scott, has been, I think, awesome these first 2 years, because you really have gotten some of the hot teams early in the season. Sure. That have gotten far into this cup. Think Pacers of last year. Now you're talking about some of these teams like the Rockets advancing. Sets up a great Western Conference matchup here on Saturday night.
Yeah, and what's interesting is when you look at these NBA Cup games, and certainly we've seen it in the quarterfinals, I should say, these games are going under. 3-1 to the under in the four quarterfinal games. And the games last night not only went under, but they went under by a mile. We're talking 30 points. If you played alternate unders on the Knicks and the Hawks, and you played alternate under on that Warriors game, I mean, you cashed with ease and got a pretty nice plus money payout. And I think it's something to pay attention to as we move forward into these semifinals here in Las Vegas. First off, yes, it is an NBA-style arena. It wasn't built for the NBA, but it's not like they're playing in a stadium like a Final Four. You're in a football stadium where the sight lines are off, or they're playing in a smaller gym. Like, this is still a big arena at T-Mobile. Yeah. And so the sight lines aren't going to be as difficult as they would be. But it is still a newer location that these players might not be familiar with. So I always tend to lean to unders in those situations, like when we have these exhibition games that are played in other arenas that you're not used to, or the international games in somewhat. So if we take a look at the lines, I think the unders are going to be the way to go when these games happen here this weekend. Hawks and Bucks, we're looking at 231, which that right away seems like a big number to me. Rockets, Thunder, 215.5, a little bit more reasonable on that one. Yep. But I still want to lean under on both of these semifinal games coming up here this weekend.
Yeah, Hawks-Bucks, a little bit different animal to me. This was the same thing Ben and I talked about yesterday on the show. It was By my numbers, Knicks were probably the best bet of the quarterfinals, but this Hawks team has been so random to start the season that I stayed far away from it, and I think that will continue with me even total-wise. We saw Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee in their quarterfinal matchup, lucky to escape with a win. Their defense was absolutely horrible, and that's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out as the season goes on. And what we're seeing, the other natural that I great, you broke down the stadiums and arenas perfectly. The other thing is just you do get a higher level of intensity on defense.
It's a playoff game.
When there's something to play for, sure. Right? Every one of these guys got $100,000 after these wins last night. Like, it's something, yeah. Like, you got Trae Young rolling the dice in the center of Madison Square Garden. He's ready to get out to Vegas. So you do see that intensity level step up. I hear it. I mean, I was on under the Warriors Rockets last night. I think that would translate a bit over to Rockets Thunder. Interested to see where that number moves to. 215.5, obviously pretty low for an NBA game already. But you're talking, I'm looking back at their last 11 games. This is number two and number three defensive rating in the NBA going up against each other. This Houston team has really built their foundation of what they are this season on the backs of that defense. And this Thunder team, we saw it building last year, but they might be making a statement in this NBA Cup of, Boston, watch out, here we come for a championship this year, because this team's got everything they need to go win it.
Odds to win the NBA Cup right now, the Thunder are the favorite, +125, followed by the Bucks at +230. And if you're interested, Rockets +400, Hawks +600. The NBA Cup semifinals this weekend here in Las Vegas. We focus our attention now on football, where the biggest story in the NFL was actually a college football story, as Bill Belichick returns to the sidelines and he will be coaching at the University of North Carolina. I know a lot of people, including myself, were waiting to see which team was going to reach out to Bill Belichick to try and hire him. I'm not so sure that, because I've heard this, Kelly, I've heard this from other hosts and other podcasts and whatnot, saying, oh, this is an indictment on the organizations that are looking for coaches in the NFL. Mm. This is, he doesn't want to coach the Jets. He doesn't want to coach the Giants. He doesn't want to coach the Raiders. All these teams not interested to Bill Belichick. Well, why would North Carolina be more interested than an NFL program? And I think it's because of the way that college football has changed in the NIL era. Now, some coaches, not happy about it, they decide to leave. We saw Jeff Hafley decide, I'm not going to coach at the college level anymore. I'm going to take a job in the NFL. Goes from Boston College, joins his buddy Matt LaFleur, and becomes the DC over in Green Bay. But for Bill Belichick, this is the perfect time for him to take a college job, because it's not so much about recruiting anymore. It's become an NIL business. And that is why you hire someone like our very own Mike Lombardi. Mike Lombardi, if you haven't heard the news, will be departing VSiN as he joins Bill Belichick to be the general manager at North Carolina. And this is a new position. We saw it with Woj, yep, leaving ESPN, becoming the general manager at St. Bonaventure. Like, this is a position that these college programs are opening up, because college sports now is a business. Well, it was always a business, but more so than building a program, it's how do you work the transfer portal? How do you work with your NIL budget? And I'll say this, with Bill Belichick becoming the head coach at North Carolina, this NIL budget has just gone through the roof.
It is fascinating, because you're right. We've seen some of these college coaches struggle with it and almost have to, give it up, right? And give up their college careers. And I think it's going to be a really interesting test case with Bill Belichick coming in here. I think a lot of us think this is more translatable to what an NFL front office situation looks like these days. And we're going to see it with Bill Belichick and Michael Lombardi heading in there, if this really is the case in college football now. And, from all of us here at Visa, I know everybody said, but congratulations to Michael, who's been here for 6 years now at the network, done a lot of great work in his time here. And this is big move. This is going to be, it should be really interesting to see how it shakes out. I think from a personal level, when it comes to Belichick, he's so associated with the NFL to me, it almost makes me a little sad that we're going to be talking about him in the college ranks. But with how much college football has changed, I think these guys are going to be really interesting to see how they handle it compared to some of the other programs.
Yeah, I've seen the people that are out there saying, well, is Bill Belichick going to go into some 17-year-old's living room and sit on the couch and talk to the parents and recruit the kid to North Carolina? No, he's going to have a staff that's going to do that. I mean, I can't picture Belichick sitting on the couch going, you know, we got a great program, great facilities over there in Chapel Hill, and I think your son's going to do a great job when he comes over here and he's a part of our program. No, but what Bill Belichick is going to do and what Michael Lombardi is going to do is they're going to take a look at the backup tight end, let's say, on Iowa, and offer him X amount of dollars in NIL money to transfer over to North Carolina and then turn him into the next Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're going to do. They're going to find talent and work the transfer portal, work this NIL era, this new world of college football that exists now, and that's how they're going to build this program. And having guys that have done it at the professional level better than anybody, This is going to pay off in dividends for North Carolina. I'm going to ask you right now, Kelly, winning a championship first, North Carolina or one of, let's say, the four teams that we think will be looking for head coaches in the NFL. I'm talking Jets, Giants, maybe not Giants, we'll see. Jaguars, Bears, one of those teams, Raiders.
Okay, I'll still go with the NFL answer. Any of those teams, I get the field? Do I get all of them? And then I'll go with the field. The old team, all the teams that you just broke down. I think just still, we're interested to see how the NFL mindset, I think, translates over to college football, but it's still, you still got to build a program, Build a culture, all that, right? Even if you can recruit some of the younger guys or get even some of the young transfers, they might take a couple years. The NFL, we see how quick you can change a program around in a year or two if you get the right draft pick.
That's fair,
right?
So that's fair.
I think that's it's kind of a cop-out answer, but to answer your question, I'm going to go with the NFL teams.
That's fair. Well, good luck to Belichick and, of course, to our very own Michael Lombardi there at North Carolina. Now, as we focus in on the NFL, it's week 15. It'll kick off tonight, Thursday night football between the Rams and the 49ers. Lots of familiarity between both of these coaches, between both of these teams, obviously playing in the division. And it's interesting when you focus in on a game like this that has so much familiarity, because we can look at prior matchups and we could look at coaching history. But I think what we really need to do is you almost have to throw out priors and get rid of any bias that you might have in regards to both of these teams and just focus on what we're looking at right now, because it's obvious this is not the same San Francisco 49ers team that we're accustomed to seeing. And the Rams right now playing at a level that, frankly, is maybe the best they've looked all season long. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Gil. We will take a look at Thursday Night Football, maybe cook up a same-game parlay for you as well. Coming up next, it's a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on A Numbers Game, I'm Scott Seidenberg and for Gil Alexander, alongside Kelly Bidlin here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thursday Night Football will kick off week 15. I can't believe we're at week 15 already.
I know. And then you know how this goes, too. The next few fly by like nothing.
I know. This is unbelievable. Like, someone texted me yesterday and asked about my Super Bowl plans. And I said, it's too early. But then I looked at my watch to make sure what date it was, because I often forget what date it is. And I said, wait, it's not too early.
Yeah, maybe it's not too early.
We're in week 15 of the NFL season. Playoff spots are on the line. And so week 15 will kick off tonight with the Rams visiting the 49ers Thursday Night Football. And differing odds, if you look across the odds screen, I just got a flash in front of me.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Circa has just gone from 3 to 2.5. So the 49ers are now -2.5 at Circa. Does that mean that somebody behind us just placed a wager on the Los Angeles Rams +3?
Well, I'd say good chance.
Yeah, go look down. Is anybody the counter?
It's pretty slim pickings out there right now, Scott.
Well, it could have been on the app as well. But literally that happened as we speak. And you know what? When Circa moves a line, the other books usually follow suit. As my odds board is flashing right now, we got the Westgate, BetOnline, South Point, where everyone's moving down to 2.5. So, updated breaking news, if you want to call it. We have San Francisco -2.5 for tonight's game, Thursday Night Football. And the total has gone down now to 48.5. So it started, we were at 49.5 at one point, down to 49, now at 48.5. So we have San Francisco -2.5, total of 48.5. Couple of nuggets when it comes to this game. Obviously, it's a short rest matchup between both of these coaches, and they come from a the similar coaching tree. I mean, this is, they're all Kyle Shanahan guys, mm-hmm. or really they're all Mike Shanahan guys. But Kyle Shanahan on short rest in his coaching career, 14-9 against the spread by 2.6 points per game. On Thursdays specifically, 6-3, both straight up and against the spread. As for his buddy Sean McVay, when he is on short rest, 14-6-1. Wow. Against the spread by 4.8 points per game. On Thursdays, 5-3-1 ATS, covering by 2.8 points. So the idea has always been that McVay is a great coach on short rest. Here we see that Kyle Shanahan also a great coach on short rest, but the numbers slightly in favor of McVay. Again, 14-9 ATS for Shanahan, 14-6-1 against the number for Sean McVay. Brock Purdy, meanwhile, as a quarterback in the NFL, obviously with the 49ers, has made 4 Thursday starts, and he is 4-0, both straight up and ATS in those football games. My first look in this game was towards the Rams. Not at this number, though, Kelly.
Mm.
And this is the importance of numbers, because Rams at +3, Rams at +3.5, that's a number I get behind. Now that this is down to 2.5, I think if you like the Rams, this becomes an attractive teaser piece.
I think it's a very attractive teaser. Like I was gonna say, Scott, my first look was to the Rams too, and I actually did like this number because I thought it was gonna go the other way. So okay. I immediately tied it into a teaser. But I think it's a great teaser spot tonight with the Rams.
And what we're talking about in a teaser spot is the traditional Wong teaser, which is going through the key numbers of 3 and 7. A couple of rules, and I want to explain to the audience. Typically, you only want to play a -120 two-leg teaser. All right? You don't want to pay extra juice, and teasers have become more expensive as sports betting has become more prevalent around the country. So different books do offer different odds. So always shop around to make sure you're getting the best odds on your teasers. A two-leg -120 teaser at 6 points is the best teaser you're going to find out there. Mm-hmm. It's the best price in the market. And when you are using a 6-point teaser, you want to look towards the traditional Wong teaser. Stanford Wong, the guy who wrote about the teasers. Going through the key numbers of 3 and 7 is the best way to handle it. So when you see the Rams at +2.5, pushing them to now +8.5 is the best way to look at a teaser. Now, 2.5 to 8.5 is actually, in my opinion, a better teaser than the 1.5 to 7.5, because we are seeing now the key numbers are changing in the NFL. We used to say it's always 3, it's always 7. Well, 6 is becoming more prevalent.
Yep.
8 is becoming more prevalent, because as analytics are getting involved, more teams are going for 2, especially in the late game scenarios where you find yourselves down 14 points. The book's out. You go for 2 when you're down 14. And if you get it, you could lose the game by 6. If you don't get it, you can lose the game by 8. So if you see a 2.5 point dog, teasing them up to 8.5, in my opinion, is the best way to go about a 6-point teaser. So you're already on the Rams +8.5.
Yeah, tied it in with, I actually got it tied in with two sides. Tied it in with Minnesota early in the week, and then Washington on the road. That's my favorite one. Washington on the road against New Orleans this week with the Saints team. Not going to have Carr out there. Not much going on in New Orleans. I think Commanders need a big win this week. So like tying it in with them. But yeah, this is a massive NFC West game that we got tonight. We've been lucky, man. We've had some great Thursday night games here over recent weeks. I think the other part we got to start with this game, Scott, is just the injury report. I mean, we've seen a lot of love for San Francisco this week. I get it. This is look, they got to win this one if they're going to stay alive, really, in this playoff hunt. You got Dre Greenlaw, Nick Bosa, all look like they're going to go tonight. They are both questionable currently, but both of those guys have been getting some work in this week. I expect at least both of them to go. Yes, Trent Williams still out for this team. Grendo looks like is looking more like he is going to go as well. Upgraded this morning to probable for Grendo. So, you know, Niners getting back some of these pieces that have been out for a while. And this is a must-win kind of game for them tonight. I get some of the Niners' love. But as you said, man, this Rams team, they're in a stretch right now where this offense is humming and it is working. And now I can get this up out over a touchdown, two scores. You got to cover by two scores to beat me. I think it's a great teaser leg tonight on
Yeah, I co-sign that. I love that. And then finding a dance partner, obviously the most important piece is which other team are you going to pair up with the Rams in the 6-point teaser. You said you like Washington, who right now is up to a 7.5-point favorite, so you can get them down to 1.5. Or you look on Monday night and you got Minnesota -7 over the Chicago Bears. The one thing I will say is when you look at the 7-point favorites teasing them down, pay attention to the money lines.
Yep.
Okay, because when you do a two-leg teaser at -120, essentially each leg of the teaser is -280. So it's like you're parlaying two -280s. Well, if you see the money line on a 6.5 or 7 or 7.5 point favorite that's less than -280, just bet the money line. Like, I know people are like, oh, I can't lay -250. Why not? If you think they're going to win, right? It's the same bet, except yeah, you're not getting taxed on it now by laying -120, parlaying those two together. So it's always look at the money lines.
It's partially a psychological thing too, Scott, right? This drives me nuts with NBA. We talked about it in the first segment with the Warriors and Rockets and how you would approach betting that. I'm not a big baseball guy. I know you are. But people spend all, you know, months and months and months betting baseball, laying money lines. Then all of a sudden the NFL starts, football and basketball start, and they got to lay points. Yes. And it's not, you can consider a money line still. It's still a bet you're allowed to make.
Well, I wanted to take a look at this game and from a prop perspective, how are we going to handle it? And if you want to combine props and look at a same game parlay, sure, that could be a way to go about cashing in on this game. I was looking at some next gen stats that the NFL provides, and this is what I found fascinating. Matthew Stafford is targeting receivers in tight alignment at the third highest rate in the NFL. And so you ask, well, what do the Niners do versus tight alignment? They've actually allowed the 9th most yards per play at 8.7 and the 5th highest EPA in the NFL this year to tight alignment targets. And so who does that favor? Well, if you look at the Rams this season, the guy who has been lined up in tight the most going on routes is Colby Parkinson. I haven't seen any Colby Parkinson props out there. But if you're looking at one of the guys that, you know, the next up, as far as the big names, I mean, Puka Nacua's at only 28 routes on tight alignment. Cooper Kupp only 23 routes on tight alignment. Really, it's you're looking at Colby Parkinson, Davis Allen, Hunter Long as the guys who get the most on this Rams team. But I found that fascinating. I do a lot of next-gen stats work, and when I look at some of the numbers, you can kind of script out a story as to the way that this is going to play out. It's one of the ways that I like to bet smarter. And if you want to bet smarter, start with Smarter Insights. A VSiN Pro subscription delivers the kind of actionable content that gives you the betting edge. Right now, you can check out articles like Greg Peterson's college basketball best bets, Tyler Shoemaker's NFL line movement, Adam Burke's Army-Navy preview. And later today, you can check out Steve Mackinnon's NFL late season betting system, Adam Burke's first touchdown scorer props, and Jonathan Davis's top NHL bets. To get access to all the articles on vsin.com right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. I got more on this game, including a touchdown score that I'm absolutely in love with. It may seem chalky, but when I read you the numbers, I think you're going to jump on board with my touchdown score for tonight's game as well.
All right, let's do it.
But like coming
it.
Up next, let's talk some more NBA. Zach Cohen is going to join us here on A Numbers Game. I'm Scott Seidenberg. He's Kelly Bidlin. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on A Numbers Game, I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Gil alongside Kelly Bidlin here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As we shift our focus back to the NBA, we welcome into the Progressive Guest Line VSiN Senior Editor Zach Cohn. You can follow him on, what do we call it, X, Twitter? I mean, we'll call it both, but it's Betting on X is the handle for Zach. Zach, welcome to the program. NBA Cup semifinals are set here in Las Vegas. Before we focus on those two games, let's go back to the quarterfinals. We saw two games last night go under by significant amounts, and all four of these quarterfinal games, 3-1 to the under. So when you watch these games play out, does it lend you now to thinking playoff type atmosphere? We like unders again in the semifinals?
I think so. I mean, you saw the possessions were down in yesterday's game. The Hawks average 104 possessions for the year. They were down at 100 against the Knicks. Both of these games were played at relatively slow paces, and both of them featured both teams really locked in on the defensive end. And I also think that, like, if you want to talk about treating it like a playoff atmosphere, you heard Steve Kerr after the game. They badly wanted to win that game. They were really upset with the call at the end of it, whether or not you agree with it or not. I think that they saw, you know, a really competitive atmosphere. I don't really see that changing, especially when you look at, like, the Thunder and the Rockets. I think that that's going to be a low scoring game for sure.
Zach, early look at these games Saturday night here in Vegas. We got Hawks and Bucks, Rockets and Thunder. Bucks laying 3.5, 231 total on that game. Thunder 5-point favorites, 215.5 total there. Anything jump out to you early? Because I've been pretty gun shy so far.
I like the Bucks minus 3.5. I just think that we might have saw a little bit of an overreaction to what we saw in those last games. I think the Hawks obviously played the Knicks really well. I think that was a tough matchup for the Knicks with the way that they are defending right now. But I do think Milwaukee, you can't really read too much into that Orlando loss. I know that you ought to say that, you know, Wagner and Banchero are out, but that's a Magic team that has a really good defensive infrastructure. They play hard every night. They make, you know, games tough on opponents. And I just, that's just what we saw against the Bucks. I don't think we're going to see it again. I think that Milwaukee should beat Atlanta. And 3.5 is really not a big number. I think it should be a little bit more, maybe closer to 4.5, 5.
Giannis scored 37 points in that quarterfinal matchup. Do we like him to go over here in the semifinals?
I would say yes, because I don't think he's going to be the one that draws Dyson Daniels. That'll probably be Damian Lillard. So you're looking at a team that's probably not going to be putting a great wing defender on Giannis. I know that they have guys with size and Jalen Johnson, DeAndre Hunter, Zachary Risa-Shea. I just don't think any of those guys can actually cover Giannis, both from a speed and strength perspective.
Zach, we've got three games on the slate tonight. Pistons, Celtics, Raptors at Heat, Kings at Pelicans. Anything you did in the NBA tonight?
I really like the Raptors plus 10.5. I know that they just lost Scottie Barnes, and it seems like a really bad time to be back in Toronto, but they have been, you know, 7-4 against the spread without Barnes this season. The Heat are just 2-8 against the spread, of favorites of over 10 points over the last three seasons. I honestly couldn't remember the last time I saw the Heat as a favor of more than 10 points, but I do not trust them laying that many points. I think that this Toronto team definitely still has some dudes. You know, they have RJ Barrett as a legitimate MIP candidate. Davion Mitchell and Oshae Ogbaji are two great perimeter defenders, and now they have their full center rotation back with Jakob Poeltl and Kelly Olynyk. I still think this team is going to continue to be really feisty on a night-by-night basis. Maybe they won't win as many games outright without Barnes, but I think they can be trusted to, you know, keep games from being blowouts.
Are you baking in anything for this game or for with the Heat going forward in the near future? Any kind of, I don't know, turbulence behind the scenes with Jimmy Butler trade conversations? And to spin that forward a little bit more, what do you think ends up happening with Jimmy Butler, who seems like has picked up in the news cycle here past 24 hours?
It popped into my mind with this spread being so big that, like, the focus just isn't 100% there. Butler just has a lot going on. I mentioned it last night on primetime. Like, he seems to be very invested in a coffee shop he just opened. Then he has this trade rumor thing. Like, I don't know how much he actually cares about basketball. And I have a friend down in Miami that says he's always doing these events the days of games. So it definitely doesn't make me feel great about Miami, you know, winning by 11 or more against a feisty team. But I do think he's going to be traded pretty soon. You don't really hear about this type of stuff unless there's legitimate smoke. And he's always been a guy that has been very vocal about wanting to stay in South Beach. Now that he's kind of open to leaving, I do think they're going to move him. It is harder to trade players now, but there are teams that can get him, and I do think that there are teams that are going to want him. I think Houston's a team to really keep an eye on.
VSiN senior editor Zach Cohn joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Scott Seidenberg alongside Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Zach, I know you worked on a piece for NBA futures in the awards market. What are some of the ones that jump out to you as we're at the quarterway mark here of the NBA season?
Yeah, so I kind of went through and gave out who would win each award as of today, you know, basing it only on what we've seen this season, not projecting out into the future, but then also giving out a best bet looking forward. And I think that the one that really stood out to me when looking at it was Kevin Durant to win Crunch Time Player of the Year, Clutch Time Player of the Year, whatever they call that award. It's 16-1. I just think that that's an award that they really have not gotten the science down in terms of pricing it. You look at the board right now, Nikola Jokic is the favorite to win it. De'Aaron Fox Fox is second. Jokic has not been that good in crunch time. They're 7-6 in the last 5-minute games. He has not had otherworldly stats in that time. And De'Aaron Fox, the Kings have a losing record in crunch time situations. So I looked at that list. I saw the field goal percentages, the wins, losses. Kevin Durant is shooting much higher field goal percentage in crunch time than he is in normal time. And the Suns are 8-0 in crunch time in the games that Durant has played this season. He has really led them to wins in games that they have absolutely needed him. Obviously, he has been dealing with some injuries, but there is no game limit on that award. So I think he comes back soon. They start to win some games. People are going to start to take notice of what he has done in those last 5 minutes.
How intrigued are you by Jamal Mosley in the Coach of the Year market? He's the third favorite at plus 800. And the reason why I bring him up is because the Magic have dealt with injuries, multiple injuries, obviously Boncaro being out, now Franz Wagner. If they can continue to chug along and then eventually get their players back and make a little push here, is Mosley an intriguing candidate for Coach of the Year?
Absolutely. That was one of the ones I put. I gave Kenny Atkinson the Coach of the Year for the first 25 games, but I said that Mosley is the one to watch moving forward just because Boncaro has been out for almost all the season. Wagner is now about to miss, you know, 3-4 weeks at the very least. And this is a team that has played really well defensively all year long, even without those guys. They'll probably continue to be a top 7 or so team in terms of adjusted defensive rating. They just have to find a way to score, but the early returns, even without a lot of guys in the lineup, have been solid. They beat the Suns the other night without both those two stars. They obviously were very competitive against the Bucks. I think if they stay, you know, above 500 or near 500 without those two, Boncaro will come back, and we're going to have to give Mosley some credit. This has been a team that is just about as well coached as any in the entire NBA.
Yeah, Zach, I like it too. I do think this is one of those, Scott, I'd probably wait on a little bit. Just if we assume they're going to lose some more games. That's with fair. Franz and Boncaro out, these odds are only going to get longer. The real question though is he live for the end of the season? And yes, I completely agree with both of you that he's probably going to be live then. So I think you wait a little bit, might get some longer odds. Zach, anything else in the NBA tonight before we switch to NFL?
Yeah, I took DeJounte Murray over 34.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I just kind of think that without Brandon Ingram, there's going to be a lot of on-ball opportunities to go around. I know that Trey Murphy and Herb Jones can both do a really good job of filling in on the wing, but those are two guys that need shots set up for them. They're not going to be creating them themselves. I think that the on-ball duties are going to be split between McCollum and Murray, but Murray has been doing it lately. 18 points, 11 assists, 6 boards in his last game, 26 points, 9 boards, 5 assists the game before that. I just think he's going to backup numbers moving forward, and they're playing a Kings team that does not defend the perimeter all that well, and it probably will be played at a relatively fast pace. So I just would be really surprised if he doesn't fill up the stat sheet.
All right, Zach, let's take a look at tonight's Thursday night football game kicking off week 15 in the NFL. The Rams at the 49ers. Market now down to San Francisco -2.5 and 48.5. So we've seen movement, obviously, going off of the 3, which is huge. What's your look for tonight's game?
I jumped on the 49ers money line at -135, but I would be willing to lay it at 2.5 if you don't want to deal with the juice. I just think that San Francisco is a little underrated in the grand scheme of things. You look at their EPA per play and EPA per play allowed. Both of them are better than the Rams this season. Also, obviously, you look at their game earlier in the season. The Rams came back and won that game, but the 49ers were up big. They're going to be looking at this as a revenge spot, and San Francisco has absolutely no wiggle room the rest of the way. Like, they are not out of the playoff race, but they need to win every game moving forward. I think they're going to treat this game as a really big one. I do think we're going to see them find a way to win this one. And I also like Deebo Samuel over 49.5 yards. I gave it out at 47.5 on Tuesday in my column, but man, I just feel like every time these receivers come out and publicly beg for the ball, it's really hard to turn away from them. There's no actual trends or statistics to go behind it, but
nope, you're right.
You want to keep these guys happy.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease. Zach, great stuff. Good job on the website. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Zach Cohen, VSiN senior editor, joining us here on A Numbers Game. Hey, are you the type of bettor who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sport Trade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade is live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download Sport Trade and use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You must be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Kelly, I teased that I like an anytime touchdown scorer in tonight's game between the 49ers and the Rams. And yes,
pay it off.
It might seem chalky, But when I read you these stats, you're going to say, yeah, this guy's scoring a touchdown tonight.
I like it.
We'll get to that pick coming up next. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Gil Alexander. This is A Numbers Game right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on A Numbers Game, I'm Scott Seidenberg. In for Gelly's Kelly Bidlin here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we take a look at tonight's Thursday night football game between the Rams and the 49ers, kicking off week 15. And the 49ers now down to a 2.5-point favorite as the market has followed Circa, which was the first to move it down to 2.5. And we are at 48.5 now for the total. So we've seen a movement towards the under, and we've seen a movement here in favor of the Rams moving this off the key number of 3 and down to 2.5, which I don't think we can, you know, overstate how big of a move that is.
Yeah.
So pay attention to that. That is a big move going from 3 to 2.5. So obviously Circa making a statement and the rest of the books following based on the action that they are receiving. When we take a look at tonight's game and from a props perspective, something that I talked about earlier in the show was Matthew Stafford targeting tight alignment wide receivers. Now, what does that mean? Well, you watch football, guys. Think about this. Your wide receivers, they can either, there's different ways that they can line up on the field. They can go split out wide, and so they're by the numbers or close to the sideline. They could be in the slot, which is like in between like the tight end and the wide out wide receiver, or they can be in tight, which the Rams utilize a lot of tight formations, meaning you're going to see these wide receivers really close to the offensive lineman by the line of scrimmage. Matthew Stafford is targeting the tight targets at the third highest rate in the NFL. So there's only two other quarterbacks that are throwing to these tight targets more than Matthew Stafford. The 49ers defense, meanwhile, has allowed the 9th most yards per play, 8.7, and the 5th highest EPA, the expected points added, versus tight targets. So how do we take advantage of that? Well, I looked at the Rams, and I looked at all their stats this year. And the receiver that has run the most routes on tight targets is Colby Parkinson. So much more than the next highest receiver or tight end for this the Los Angeles Rams. And I looked at his prop for tonight. His total yardage, receiving yardage, 8.5. Now, Kelly, can you pull up Colby Parkinson's game logs, please? And why don't you tell me what he's done in the past 4 weeks?
Well, you want the good news or the bad news, Scott?
Just read them off to me. What do we got?
All right, past 4 weeks, last week, one catch, one target, 11 yards.
Okay, so that's an over.
Yep. Week before, against the Saints, one catch, one target, 13 yards.
So that's an over.
Week before, against the Eagles, one catch, two targets, 10 yards.
So that's an over.
Week before, against the Patriots, one catch, one target, 19 yards.
I'm catching a theme here.
Ladder up.
I'm catching a theme here when it comes to Colby Parkinson. No, I'm not going to bet his receptions props over even under, because it's probably a half, to be honest with you. But at 8.5 yards, literally, we're just asking for him to catch one ball. And based on the stats, the 49ers are vulnerable to tight target receivers. The guy who lines up as a tight target for the Rams is Colby Parkinson. One catch to go over 8.5 yards seems like an interesting prop bet for tonight's game. I also teased out an anytime touchdown score.
You did, yeah.
Now, I'm going to, as they say, ladder this. Yeah. Because I'm also going to talk about this player's yardage prop. And that player is George Kittle. George Kittle is having a tremendous season for the San Francisco 49ers.
Much more impressive game luck.
Much more impressive than Colby Parkinson. Kittle right now has recorded plus 250 receiving yards over expected, which is the 4th most in the NFL. Plus 9.5 receptions over expected, the 6th most in the NFL. He's recorded 387 yards after catch, which is the 3rd most amongst tight ends in the NFL. And his 70.2% catch success rate and his yards after the catch, seventh highest among tight ends, seventh highest amongst all receivers in the NFL. How do the Rams defend the tight end position, you ask? Good question. An average of 5.46 receptions per game and an average of 55.85 yards per game. George Kittle tonight has a juiced over on his yardage at 59.5. His reception prop is at 4.5. Which one is more appealing to you?
Oh, man.
Receptions or yardage?
I think naturally I'm more of a yardage guy anyways, but then especially when we talk about a guy like Kittle, the run after catch ability, it's just... You could get there. I mean, what's the yardage again?
59.5.
I mean, with George Kittle, that could be three catches. It might be all you need. So, especially with him, I would gravitate towards yardage.
I lean towards the yardage as well. Now, obviously, the reception numbers are there when it comes to the Rams' defense. Like I said, on average against tight ends, the Rams are allowing 5.46 receptions per game. But I think the yardage is the way to go here because of how great he is, as you mentioned, after the catch. Mm-hmm. And I just gave those numbers. He is one of the tops in the NFL in yards after catch and yards after catch over expected. So he's getting more yards than what he's supposed to be getting based on all of the analytics here. Now, as far as the anytime touchdown, which right now it's at plus 130, anytime you get plus money is obviously a good thing. Would you like it to be higher odds? Sure. Shop around. Different books have different odds on anytime touchdown scores. But the reason why I love George Kittle to score a touchdown is because he is the number one red zone target for the 49ers. He has accounted for 27.7% of the 49ers' red zone targets. He leads the NFL with 113 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 5 receptions over expected in the red zone this season. So when Brock Purdy gets within the 20, he's looking for one man, and that's George Kittle. So it might be chalky, but I like George Kittle anytime touchdown plus 130.
Yeah, I like that. I do like that. I think the Niners, I like the Rams. I don't know. Which side you lean into in this game? I guess we haven't really talked about that.
At the 2.5, it's teasing the Rams up.
Yeah. Okay,
so, at the 3, it was the Rams, but I don't want to take 2.5.
Yeah, especially, I mean, if I like the Rams, there's also the game state, right, where the Niners are playing catch up a little bit too, right? I think that's where we see Kittle even more active. But yeah, you mentioned the red zone stuff. That is absolutely massive. And with all the injuries they've had with the running backs, Grendel looks like he's going to go tonight. But still, I don't know how confident you are with him and his ability. I think we should see an active Brock Purdy as well tonight. And we were talking about his favorite red zone target, one of his favorite targets, period. I think that makes a lot of sense with Kittle.
Now, Zach Cohn brought up something with us last segment in regards to Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
And I made the joke, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's what they say. But how many times this season have we seen wide receivers throw fits or say something to the media, and then the team kind of force feeds that player to appease them? Well, if you haven't paid attention to the news, Deebo Samuel tweeted out that he's not hurt. He's just not getting the ball. To then a lot of 49ers fans reminded him that he leads the team in drops. The tweets have been deleted. And when asked about it, Deebo said, "You read what you read." So he's not taking back his comments, but I gotta believe that this is something that Kyle Shanahan has addressed with him and maybe something that Deebo has addressed inside that offensive room with his quarterback Brock Purdy and the other receivers. We know the injuries that they're dealing with. He's not having a good season, but he still is a tremendous offensive weapon. I just feel like with the injuries to their backfield, especially, they find ways to put the football in Deebo Samuel's hands. Maybe it's running the ball, so you can take a look at his rushing plus receiving prop, or maybe it's these short screen passes, to which case maybe his receptions prop is interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Man, I just pulled up his game log. I understand why he's frustrated. It has not been much. Now, he did get 5 carries last week in that blowout against Chicago. Those were early in that game, so maybe he'll even be more active. I do think with the running back injuries, I'd look at rushing plus receiving, but we were talking about this pre-show. I am absolutely 100% with you, Scott, on the trend of as soon as a wide receiver starts to complain, on Wednesday, whenever they open up prop markets, tickets, I'm in. I got in on AJ Brown yesterday. There's even more I've got to consider now. Debo, I didn't even take the time to consider yet, but they're almost automatic bets for me these days because it's incredible how much the game plan seems to be force feeding these guys.
And something you can take a look at too is when these books open up first drive props, you can look to maybe get a guy to get a reception on that first drive. Hey, nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. It's guaranteed perfection in every single bite. And right now you can save on unforgettable gifts with 50% off site wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With 5 generations of experience, they consistently deliver the world's best steak experience, and the gifting experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to deliver the perfect gift with thoughtfully curated gift packages featuring gourmet favorites. From legendary steaks to mouth-watering desserts, my mouth is watering right now, save 50% off site-wide for a limited time at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com, plus an extra 30% off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Scott Seidenberg. We focus on the ice coming up next right here on A Numbers Game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.